Today, we're marking lots of events, not only in our church, but in the world. It's New Year's Day. And for many, that's a sign of renewal, a sign of setting new goals, thinking about the past year and looking ahead. But today I wanted to invite you to share with me some thoughts on the gospel reading. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. Today, the church celebrates the Feast of the Epiphany. And sometimes the Feast of the Epiphany gets lost. As a matter of fact, sometimes the entire season of Epiphany gets lost. Because quite often we associate this time of year with one season, don't we? As a matter of fact, most of us start celebrating Christmas fairly early. And so Advent gets lost as pre-Christmas, then we have Christmas, and then Epiphany gets lost as post-Christmas. So it's one grand season for many. But I'm inviting us to think of the difference that Epiphany, the Feast of the Epiphany, makes, not just in terms of the church, but in our lives. I must admit, though, that we're a few days ahead, because the actual Feast of the Epiphany is on Friday, January the 6th. But the church allows us to bring that day forward whenever it falls in the week. Because traditionally we'll have an Epiphany service, but we know what happens during the week. On Thursday evening, actually, at our Bible study, we had a bit of a conversation about the 12 days of Christmas. And as we know, the 12 days of Christmas go from Christmas to Epiphany. And how did we come up with the number 12? Because if we did the math, depending on how we do the math, it might be 13, it might be 14. However, the 12 days of Christmas are the 12 days of Christmas, and there's some perspective that we do not count Christmas Day as one of the 12 days. Another perspective is that we do not count the Sunday. But be that as it may, Epiphany runs from Christmas to the 12 days of Christmas run from Christmas to Epiphany. What is this season of Epiphany? Well, it is a time to reflect on our Advent preparation and our Christmas celebration of the birth of Christ. So it brings to fruition some of our reflections, some of our activities over the last little while, and to thank God for giving us the chance to share hope, peace, love, and joy in the midst of all the challenges and opportunities of last year. We know that there's a tendency to set new goals at a time like this, to look at our lives and perhaps make some resolutions. I don't know about your resolutions for 2023, but I've been thinking about a few things myself. And as I've been lectured about this, already I've written down about 10 different things that I would like to work on in 2023. So I have to go back to my list and pray over that list, because 10, that's quite a bit. What are you thinking about for 2023? What is the scripture telling us about 2023 and beyond? One of the messages that I'm getting is the message of hope. The message of hope. And when we think of hope, we feel a sense of optimism, don't we? And an expectation of something good is going to happen. We've been through almost 2 years of the virus. And who would have thought that we would still be wearing masks? Who would have thought that people would still be testing positive? But in all of this, Christians keep hope alive. Because Christians know that our hope comes from placing our trust in God, on whom we can always rely. Nevertheless, hope is often undervalued as a Christian virtue. Today, in Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, he encourages them to remain hopeful, assuring them that God's love extends to all. Here is what Paul wrote to explain that everyone is now welcomed as part of God's plan of salvation. I quote directly from Paul's letter. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Is that an invitation or what? We are all welcome as part of the body of Christ. And this provides some context for a close look at the gospel reading, which is Matthew's description of the visit of the wise men to the baby Jesus. And without getting into a lot of historical and other discourse, let us bear in mind that the people who were identified as the wise men, or the three kings, depending on versions we look at, it is believed from some evidence that they were not part of the group to whom it was believed the Messiah came into the world. Reflect on this for a minute, that from the outset, the gospel is being taken around the world. The gospel is being taken beyond immediate boundaries, beyond Willowdale, beyond the Church of St. George and Young, beyond the Diocese of Toronto, across the globe. But who is this newborn baby that these wise people are trying to find? Why do they travel so far to worship the baby and to offer him precious gifts? Why do many of us leave churches in our neighborhood and drive to St. George and Young? On my way here, although it's a 15-minute drive, I go by four Anglican churches. Why do we worship here? Another question that I would like you to reflect on: where does this newborn baby come from? And what is the reaction when he comes into the world? Of course, we know the genealogy from Matthew, and we know all of that stuff. But think of the reaction when this newborn baby comes into the world. Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews, the Messiah, Son of David, born in Bethlehem, in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, and from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Yes, Matthew reporting. He reports that even the chief priests and scribes would know from the Old Testament where the Messiah was to be born, because they told Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. We know that Matthew emphasizes that Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy as the son and successor of the great King of David. So today in the church, we celebrate God's revelation of himself through his son to the three wise people. We are told that these persons who were considered wise had a strong desire to meet Jesus. They came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." So first of all, they had a strong desire to meet Jesus. Do we have a strong desire to meet Jesus through others and in others? Not only did they have a strong desire, but they acted. Because, my friends, desire is not enough. They acted and set out in search of Jesus. They persisted until they found the Christ child, following the star until it stopped over the place where he was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. They had a strong desire, they acted. And by God's grace, they arrived at their destination and accomplished what they set out to do. And through the Holy Spirit and the light of the star to guide them, they found the newborn baby Jesus and worshipped him. Matthew tells us that they knelt down and paid homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Isn't that something to think about? They came not in expectation of anything, but to give, to give. And I think that is sending us a strong message, isn't it? They searched until they found Jesus and displayed the qualities that could serve an example for us, for you and for me. And I just wanted to mention three very quickly as we move through quite a bit of stuff this morning. First of all, they exemplified the quality of adoration. They adored. We were made in the image of God. We were lovingly and created for a relationship with God, to worship God and to respect each other. And as we come to the end of the Christmas season, I'm reminded of the words of a well-known carol, "O come, let us adore him." Not today, but always. So they exhibited adoration. Secondly, they showed humility. And we too can develop humility, not by focusing on ourselves, but rather on others, to treat others with dignity and make room for others in our hearts as God makes room for us. Adoration, humility, and generosity. They brought precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And guess what? We often give, don't we? But I'm encouraging each and every one of us to give sacrificially, whatever that might mean to us. Give off the top, not what's left over. And I'm speaking to myself, I'm not making any accusations. I'm just encouraging each and every one of us to give off the top. Give a bit of our time. Can we make a few telephone calls to people who we haven't seen in the pew for quite a while? Can we touch someone in a special way with a gift of time, a smile, a word of encouragement? It's not always finances, your time, your gifts. Let us practice generosity of spirit and be a source of encouragement to each other. When last have we spoken to our neighbor? You know, my neighbor is going through a tough time. Her husband is actually quite ill right now. And I looked across last night. Her home was in darkness. And I knew where she was. She was at the hospital because her husband is hospitalized. They did everything together. And so there's no life in the home. Reach out to our neighbors. Reach out to our neighbors. Let us practice generosity of spirit and be a source of encouragement to each other. And that, I believe, is what Epiphany is all about. Meeting Jesus, meeting each other, and following the example of those persons who are considered wise. So some closing thoughts. Even as an infant, Jesus inspired both worship and hostility. He was rejected by King Herod and all in Jerusalem. However, the wise people came to Bethlehem to worship him and demonstrated a model of faithfulness to which we could all aspire. They were obedient and did what they were told. And obedience isn't necessarily a bad thing. And you would notice from Scripture that most instructions are quite simple, aren't they? Go and wash. Nothing too complicated. Follow the star.
Why?
Follow the star. Yes, usually instructions from God are very, very simple. Through others. They followed the star. Secondly, they saw no honor for themselves. Thirdly, they were humble, kneeling before a woman and a child. And I wouldn't get into a lot of details here, but you could imagine the society of that day, where someone knelt before a woman and a child. They displayed characteristics of servanthood in contrast to the powerful who rejected Jesus. My siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, wise women and men are still seeking Jesus. So let us accept the challenge to look for God's revelation to us in our everyday activities and in the people around us. May we have a closer relationship with Christ and become a messenger of hope to everyone that we meet. For we know that we can depend on God's promises, not just for Epiphany, but always. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for revealing your Son to us. May we place our hope in you this new year and always. For you alone can give us the peace which surpasses all understanding. Amen.